Welcome to Iconic Talk. This is your community's podcast with conversations about real estate, local happenings, and all things Winchester, Virginia. I'm Mark Francis, a local realtor, broker, and owner at Icon Real Estate, and I am always excited to share everything that I know and love about Winchester, Virginia with you. I always want you to be an informed, savvy real estate consumer in today's ever-changing market. If you want local knowledge, you've come to the right place. Well, welcome to the most anticipated, the most discussed, the most relevant podcast of Iconic Talk so far. Wow. If that doesn't whet your appetite, I don't know what will. The settlement, the NAR, National Association of Realtors settlement, has taken the country by storm over these last several weeks. And I don't know if you have done any research or homework about it, but I want to dedicate a majority of today's conversation and episode to that settlement. What does it mean? What's happening? What is that going to impact on buyers and sellers, and more importantly, here in our local market? So many of you, instantly, when this first came out back in March, came to me and said, man, what do you think about this? And what is happening with the industry? What is changing? You know, how are you going to survive? What do I need to know? So many questions. And honestly, I had very similar questions as well. I didn't know too much about it going up to it until all of a sudden these national news stories kept popping up back in March, showing, you know, settlements. I knew about lawsuits happening. I knew a little bit that there was things shaking out in the industry, but not to the level where it concerned me at all. And I'll be honest with you, nothing still is really concerning to me. It's just you have to change and evolve in any industry, in any specific business model that you may have. Wherever you work, whoever your employer is, should always be thinking about what's next. If you're stagnant, then you're dying. So that to me is something that me and my business partner Dave Spence constantly talk about in our real estate world at Icon Real Estate. We want to be, you know, in the cutting edge of real estate. Well, what it boils down to is a class action lawsuit. So let's just talk about where we're going to go here with this conversation. Let me discuss what has occurred over the last several months. We'll talk a little bit about what created this settlement. We'll talk about exactly what the settlement is and what it says. And then we'll talk about what to expect. We'll talk about what does it mean to you, the listener, to you, the potential buyer, or you, the potential seller of a house. And what is the media talking about? What's true and what's false? And then let's just wrap up our conversation today to talk about really what does it mean to us locally. So here we go. Let's dive right in. So National Association of Realtors had a class action lawsuit alleging that they conspired with four big real estate broker franchises to basically artificially inflate commissions associated with home sales. I'll just pause there. I'll tell you, I don't really understand what that means. I don't know what that looks like, because things that I do and how I operate is going to be ethically complete above board, full disclosure, full transparency, and things that I do are always going to be negotiable. And we'll discuss that a little bit further here today. But just that first kind of thought boggles my mind. But even so, the lawsuit was originally filed back in March of 2019 in a U.S. District Court in Illinois. And then there's like a series of lawsuits against them with other agencies and other big things, basically alleging that they're illegally inflating those broker commissions. And what it boils down to is the historical model of real estate commissions for us agents. We get paid at closing. We get paid only when a house sells. And so we do a whole bunch of work representing either a buyer or a seller leading up to the hope and goal of coming to a conclusion of a specific transaction. And that conclusion is when both the buyer and seller sign on the dotted line, all the closing statements and the house keys get turned over. That's when real estate agents historically have gotten paid. And so it's a very unique model. I can't think of many other industries that have similar settings like that. Even in service industries where you think of, you know, whether it's a lawyer or an accountant or a financial advisor, a lot of those kind of agreements, there is some sort of hourly rate or an amount that you get billed at a certain time. I guess there's some instances where lawyers will only take a case and only say they'll collect money if they win. But there, very few industries have people working like that. So I just have to say that, just to put it out there, that the realtor world is not as easy as you think. So many real estate agents come in because they see all the fun things on TV and how it's fun to go shop for houses with buyers, and then you get paid and it's great and it's amazing. There's a lot more work, a lot more hours that go into it. Now, as an agent, I can also admit there are some deals that are easier than others. Some houses and listings and buyers just kind of fall into your lap, and within a matter of weeks, you can get to closing. And the hourly rate, if you did the math, would be pretty high. And then there's many other deals that can go months and years on end shopping for somebody or waiting for that house to get sold that's been listed for a long time, where you've put out your money to help market it. You've put out potentially for videos or flyers or advertising or open houses or photos and videos, and go down the list of all the things that agents will do to help market a house, to help it sell, that money does not come back unless it gets sold. So I say all that because I'm not sure if many people think about realtors in that light, but when all shakes out at the end of the year, the hourly rate is not as high as you would think for many hours that us agents put in. So keep that in mind when you're working with somebody on either the buyer or the seller side. So what these agencies were doing sounds like that they were maybe inflating or shifting commissions around in a way that was beneficial to them. And ultimately, this class action lawsuit is bringing to a head the concept that sellers and sellers exclusively are taking on the commissions for both the listing side and the buying side. And as a buyer's agent, my pitch historically to buyers is I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you, the buyer, to get through the process, to not just find the right house, but take you from start to finish, help you get to the end of the transaction and buy the house of your dreams. And oh, by the way, you don't have to pay me anything. It's all paid for by the seller. They agree to it, and whatever they offer, we will take, and you don't have to worry about it. Doesn't that sound great? And all buyers are like, yep, sounds amazing. I love it. I get representation, negotiation, somebody who's skilled in what they're doing, help me out essentially for free. Well, what the lawsuit is boiling down to is that is some sort of collusion and some sort of antitrust just discrepancy there. I'm not a lawyer, so just bear with me, where, you know, the buyer cannot control what their agent is making. Therefore, they are ultimately still paying those fees. If you look at it in that light, ultimately the buyer is still paying the fees because the sales price of the house is inflated to cover that buyer's commission. And that buyer is not able to adequately negotiate that commission that's going to get distributed to their agent. And so, hence the lawsuit. Trying to simplify this as much as possible. So then there's a settlement. Earlier last month in March, the settlement came out with a couple of key resolutions where it was a $418 million payout, just huge dollars that these large franchises are going to start paying out month after month, year after year, to the plaintiffs who are out there going to collect money that they say they overpaid for a house. Wow. So that's that in a nutshell is what we're dealing with. So the National Association of Realtors got caught up with this lawsuit as well because they're in charge of these brokers and these firms and ultimately are responsible for what they've done. And so now what is really happening here? There's two or three key things that have come out of the settlement. Well, actually, let me pause for a second because I will say that essentially I found a really neat website from the lawyers who are representing all of the plaintiffs out there pursuing the money. And they were saying essentially that the defendants have a conspiracy that has kept the buying broker and agent commissions in the 2.5 to 3% range for many years, despite the diminishing role of buyers brokers due to buyers independently identifying homes through online services and retaining buyers brokers only after they have found a home they wish to buy. That statement that I found in that website where the lawyers were kind of sharing what their case was, that stood out to me. And it's fascinating to see where lawyers can take things and what certain people will do for a lawsuit. Because, yes, I will fully acknowledge as a realtor that the industry has changed because of what you can find online. And the role of a buyer's agent has certainly lessened when it comes to actually finding the actual house. I have buyer after buyer after buyer over these last many years that just will text me and say, show me this house. Well, let me tell you, as I shared with you just already today, the value of a buyer's agent goes far above and beyond just simply finding the house. There's a whole process that goes involved, and I'm going to elaborate on that even more. But I just wanted to share that statement from the lawyer's website that just misconstrues a little bit about what the realtor does and lessens it and cheapens it in a way to make you believe that our job as a realtor is only exclusively helping you find the house. That's just the beginning. Once you find the house, there's so many things that go into the project management and the coordination and the skill of negotiating and getting to closing. It is so far and above and beyond that, which again, bunny trail, you're getting me all fired up by reading that out loud to you. So anyway, so you get a sense of what's happening here with this lawsuit. So what really has come out? There's a couple of key points that the National Association of Realtors has settled on, and they are going to say these two things. They agreed that we will no longer be advertising the commission for the buyers, agents, on the multiple listing service. MLS is what it's called. MLS is the standard portal that all realtors will use. There's different specific regions of MLS portals. Here in our region is Bright MLS. So in some of the news stories, you might have heard about Bright MLS being part of the settlement. And no longer will we be able to advertise what those buyers' commissions are in the MLS. So when you're shopping, it's going to be unknown. Okay, so that's point number one. And I'll explain some of the ramifications of that as well. Point number two is that all buyers will be required to enter into an agreement, a written representation agreement, that will clearly spell out the compensation that they will receive from the buyers. So let me just share this. The state of Virginia has always required us agents to have that buyer's agreement signed. And I have always followed that to the letter of the law and had all my buyers sign that because I know that it's part of the law and what we have to do. What I will admit to is the timing of when I actually get that signed. It just feels so weird and transactional and not relational, as a salesperson to approach somebody who's working with you, more than likely they're my friend, somebody who I've known for a little while, and I'm going to say, hey, listen, I'm not going to show you these houses until you sign this piece of paper saying that I'm helping you out. It rubs me the wrong way. So over the years, I've never really fully had that signed at the time that the state was asking of me. So come find me. If you're listening and you're part of the state, you know, if you find me here at Icon, yeah, we've gotten all of them signed. It's just so awkward. I'm going to tell you, though, because they're now making that a rule and as part of national news stories that this is an obligation, we're going to start enforcing that at Icon Real Estate right away and do that more effectively to where buyers do know what's happening. And the documentation, the language of that is going to change very soon because of the settlement as well, being clear on what that states. So those are really the two settlement items that are going to be coming out of this settlement. Not a lot, right? So what has the media been saying about all this? If those are the only two key points that we're looking at in the settlement, man, that is not much at all. The fact that like you can't advertise commissions on MLS and the fact that now buyers have to sign something, that's it. That's it. Wow. Okay, so where is the media taking this and blowing this out of proportion? I've seen statements from the media saying things like this. The changes can mean buyers will save on commissions. Statement number one. Another statement that I captured and documented. If the announced settlement is approved by a federal court, the standard 6% commission goes away. Well, that's not what the settlement is saying either. Third point that I've seen. The media saying some concessions could even be cut in half. Some commissions could even be cut in half. Wow, I didn't see that out of the settlement either. The media has also said this: home prices will start dropping. What? How? So those are just a few statements that I've been seeing from national media outlets that are making claims that go way above and beyond what the settlement is stating. Well, where are they getting their facts and how are they drawing these conclusions? Let's go there because I want to set the record straight. I want to be very clear on what we can expect and paint some pictures for you. And challenge you, the listener, to engage with your realtor in an honest conversation about this, as I have been with many of my other clients here. So if that's what the media is saying, what can we expect? Well, let's think about this for sellers. Does anything impact you as a seller? Well, I think it means that you need to be more strategic in commission offerings. And first of all, by the way, the settlement is not official until the courts approve it, which that's not going to happen until at least July or August. So the big picture, if you get any takeaway from this conversation in this podcast episode right now, is that nothing is changing yet. So we are still in status quo. We are still operating as usual as buyers and sellers and as listing agents and as buyers agents. Nothing is changing right now. Okay. And especially when it comes to signing documentation to represent a buyer and a buyer's agent, we're still doing that. Nothing's changed. And even right now, nothing has changed because we're still posting commissions on MLS. All right. So that's the big takeaway right now. Just take a breath, take a moment. Don't let the media blow things out of proportion. Nothing is changing yet. Okay. So if the courts then do approve it, and in July or August, we start seeing the fact that MLS is not advertising commissions. Okay, great. So what does that mean? Well, we've got a whole spectrum of possibilities that can happen from anywhere between nothing's going to change at all, which that's still a likelihood, to where there can be a slippery slope to where we have an industry with unrepresented buyers. Somewhere between, I think, is where we're going to end up. Somewhere in that spectrum. All the way on one side, nothing changes. And all the way on the other side, buyers are out there wandering the streets, unrepresented by agents. Neither, I think, is going to happen, but I think that's the spectrum that we're talking. So can you visualize that with me? The spectrum, and you've heard people use those analogies before. On either side of the ditch, there's something going on. Well, that's your ditch, and we're not going to hit either side. We're going to be somewhere in the middle, okay? So when it comes to nothing might change, here's why I would say that. Well, if the only changes of the settlement are saying you can't advertise for the commissions, it doesn't say you have to change your commission structure. It doesn't say sellers aren't able to offer commissions to buyers. Nothing's changing about that. It just means you can't advertise it. So from a seller perspective, nothing could change. Nothing should change. You just simply say, okay, I'm going to work with Mark and he's offering 6%. I know him and I like him and I know that he's worth his money. And I think that I want him to help handle the transaction of selling my house and he's charging me 6%. Great. I'm going to go with that. And that 3% gets advertised to a buyer. And yeah, Mark will just cover how he's advertising that because it's not going in MLS. That is basically nothing changing at all. And the world goes on as normal. And buyers, agents, and selling agent, listing agents keep getting paid, keep getting finding the representation properly, and nothing changes, right? Don't think that's going to happen, but that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is that buyers are just running around looking for houses completely on their own, unrepresented, and the concept of having an agent completely goes away when it comes to you being a buyer. That's the other end. Now, how would we get there? Let me give you an example. I'm going to use the rental industry here locally in the Winchester, Frederick County area as an example. So the rental game historically has always been that you would list your rental as a landlord, as an owner of a house with an agent, and that agent would help you list it and go through the process of filtering through tenants and things like that. And if a tenant was represented by an agent, which they were, you would split that 1 month's rent. Let's just make easy math. You're listing it for $1,000, so it's a $1,000 commission. That's just kind of a industry norm, and again, don't quote me on these norms because of the collusion concept, okay? I get it. But let's just use that and paint that as a picture. $500 for me, the listing agent, $500 that we would give out to an agent representing a tenant. Well, some point in time, several years ago, the industry changed. And it's because I think listing agents for representing the owners and landlords started to get a little greedy. And they're like, I'm doing a whole lot of work here for $1,000. And if I actually go out and sell houses representing buyers or sellers who are purchasing houses, not renting, I can make more than $1,000. So if I'm taking on this listing, I want to get as much money as possible. You know what's better than $500? $750. What would it look like if I just started offering $250 commissions instead of $500 commissions to these other agents out there? I don't care about them. It's not, you know, it's not going to impact me if they're representing tenants. You know, I'm going to take my $750 and I'm going to give out $250 to the tenant's agents. So you see what happens there? Certain agents would start to get a little more greedy and be like, I'm doing a lot of work. I need this money. I'm going to collect the money. That's how I'm going to make more money. I'm just going to not give out as much to a buyer, to a tenant's agents. Wow. Well, that caught fire pretty quick. And sooner than later, it is now the norm that, like, there's no real rhyme or reason to how much money is going to be doled out to a tenant's agent. It can be a percent. It could be 25%, just like the example I gave. It might just be a flat dollar amount, $200, $300. And now that rental prices are jumping up through the roof, we're near like $2,000 a month kind of range. Even for a $2,000 listing and a $2,000 commission, if you're only splitting out $300, $400, man, now you're making more money. Do you see what's happening here? The agents started to devalue themselves just kind of in a passive, almost just I don't even know what the right word would be. That's not coming to my mind right now. But in a way that is just a little subtle, might be the word I'm thinking of, that ultimately impacts the whole industry and ultimately impacts them as realtors. Because what they've done is now cut themselves out of money if they were representing tenants, right? So that happened. That is a real life example of the real estate industry changing and evolving over time. And we currently live in a world in Winchester, Frederick County. If you are a tenant looking for an apartment, a condo, a townhouse, or a house to rent, there are very few real estate agents who are willing to help you because there's zero money in it. So they will tell you, if you contact an agent, be like, hey, can you help me out? They'll say, you know what, I can send you a few listings here and there, but when it comes to going looking at the actual places, just contact the listing agent. They'll be able to help you. It's not even worth the price of gas to help somebody out. Never mind go shop around with them for months at a time and go through all the hours of paperwork to do that. Now you're making less than minimum wage. How is that fair? Not fair at all. So you can see the ditch. Let's go back to my spectrum and from the one side where nothing changes to now the other side of buyers are completely unrepresented. Well, I've got a historical example of how that's happened. You following me? So there is a potential that some agents will be on the lookout for themselves here in these next several months and years to come, and they will do what they can to undercut and shortchange the real estate agents industry in order for them to be successful. And so let me paint you this picture. I'm a full service real estate professional. I make sure that my people know that I'm gonna help them out from start to finish. I represent them exclusively and I work for them to get the max proceeds if they're selling a house, if they're looking to buy a house, I'm gonna get the best deal and I'm gonna walk you through hand in hand, just step by step until you get to keys to closing there. And so that means negotiating, that means project management, that means helping with appraisals, the inspection process, giving you advice, pointing in the right direction of finding contractors. I can go down the list of all the things that I do and why I'm worth my money. If there's another agent out there who, when I go to take a listing appointment and I'm meeting with a client and I say, here's what I provide and I am 6% and 3% is me and 3% goes to somebody else. If there's another agent out there that goes on a listing appointment with that same seller and says, you know what, I am 3.5% and here's what I do. I will keep 2.5% and then I'm going to give out 1% to any buyer's agents to come around. Well, as a seller, you're thinking to yourself, holy cow, that's going to save me thousands of dollars. And that's what the media is now painting a picture of. That's how the industry could go. So it's likely that it can go down that path to where there is a potential of the commissions potentially dropping, that there's the potential for buyers to not be represented, because if agents are seeing the writing on the wall that they're not getting the same dollar amount, why are we going to help people out? We'll just point them to work with the lister. So there's a big ditch side over there that is possible. I don't think we're going to get there because I have confidence that there's plenty of real estate agents who understand this concept and understand that we don't want to devalue the industry because we are worth our money. And now that's another story. There are other agents out there who might not be fully worth their money and they only offer you limited services. And so therefore you get what you pay for. So let's talk about this. What does it mean for sellers? If you're looking and you're shopping for an agent to help sell a house and you interview somebody who's like me, that's full service, and you interview somebody else like I was describing who's limited service, you will get what you pay for. And you will not have the full services of videos and professional photo shoots and marketing and flyers and open houses with things that are given away to buyers out there, or you won't have staging or all the things that where money's being spent from an agent That limited service agent is not doing those things for you. When it comes down to negotiating, that limited agent might just be like, figure it out yourself. You want to run comps and you want to see what your house is really worth. And if that offer is worth it, figure it out yourself. There's different levels and degrees of evaluating somebody's worth. So you get what you pay for in really any service. So as a seller, be strategic about how you're offering commissions and who you're offering them to. The goal as a seller is still to maximize your proceeds and sell it as quick as possible, right? So be prepared to still offer buyers agents commission. Be prepared to do that in order to cast as wide of a net for all buyers. Because if the industry does go down that path of having fewer and fewer buyers agents who are out there working, if there is a buyer's agent who is working and representing a buyer, you would hope that that person has been vetted, has been qualified, is capable and ready and willing to buy. And you would hope and think that you'd get to closing a lot quicker and smoother because there's an agent helping them out, right? That would be the hope and goal. And if you were finding a buyer who's not represented, that's going to be more challenging because they're going to be scrambling, doing their own thing, right? What does it mean for buyers? Well, we talked about the buyer's agency agreement and how, at least for me and for Icon Real Estate, we're going to start really enforcing that from day one and realize that it's just a must-have. And it's going to define where the buyer's commission is coming from. As of now, again, we've already talked about this. Nothing's going to change. But when it comes to the buyer's agency agreement, we will get that signed. And prepare to really review that language more carefully, where maybe you are coming to the table with some money because the seller and the listing agent is only offering a certain amount. Be prepared to do that. And in your negotiations with your buyer's agent, you can figure out what that percent or dollar amount might be. And then also understand that you can ask for the seller to give you concessions to cover those costs. That is perfectly acceptable. So you can get those costs covered, and there's concessions that happen already to help buyers with their closing costs. That would just be a closing cost concession that would be lumped in. So as a buyer, I would encourage you, strongly encourage you, still use a buyer's agent because you will get properly represented in that way. Don't do it alone. Work out something with that agent to help you as best as possible, get you to closing. And then whatever the seller is offering, let's figure out what that difference is and figure out what that means to you. Sellers, we've talked about what you can be doing. Buyers, there's your answer. So why do you then use an agent? We've talked about this already. The project coordinating, the assisting with your lender, negotiating, advice on price and comps, local connections. There's so many reasons of why you'd want to use an agent. So I would strongly still say use somebody. Don't do it alone. Use that buyer's agreement to stick with understanding what you're paying and negotiate as best as you see fit to pay your agent what they're worth. Therefore, now you've seen the balance, the spectrum. We're not going to be on the side of the ditch that everything stays the same. And I will probably predict and say we will not be on the other side of the ditch where buyers are fully just wandering on the streets unrepresented, right? So you can argue that really if you're a seller, you might want to find buyers who are represented because it might make the process easier. And in any industry where it's a service, a fee for service, you can go down the list. Can you do things yourself, or is it worth doing it, having somebody pay? How about lawn mowing? Do you pay somebody to mow your lawn, or do you do it yourself? Well, I still do it myself, but I know plenty of people that pay for a service because it's just more worth their time to do that. That's a fee for service. Well, how much do you pay? I'm sure there's some people who are a little bit cheaper than others, and I'm sure there's some maybe that don't charge you as much, and maybe they don't do your edging. maybe they don't blow the grass bits away after they're done, and you get different levels of service. Maybe they're not fertilizing and seeding it like another person might for their fee. There's different levels of service. You get that? Or maybe it's an accountant, and you can know kind of there's good accountants and bad accountants out there of how much they offer and what they do. Maybe it's managing your own retirement. Can you buy and sell your own stocks? Yeah, sure. Or how about this? How about lawyer? Can you go represent yourself in front of a judge? I think you can. Fascinating story to make that analogy. It's relevant and it's personal. So my son got himself in a little bit of a speeding ticket over the mountain. And I was telling him, I'm like, well, you need to deal with that. You need to pay the fine or you need to go to court and do what they tell you to do. And it was a significant speed over where it was going to impact him insurance wise and points wise and fines and potential. I don't know if there would have been jail time, but it was potential, right? So I said, go to the court, go deal with it yourself. That judge, in his kindness and graciousness, looked at him and said, I don't want to see you today. And you need to go home. Go find your parents and go find a lawyer because you need that. So my son called me and said, well, I tried doing this myself. And now I think we need to hire a lawyer because the judge kicked me out. It was fascinating because, yes, as I started then doing more research, I realized how dumb I was. And I should have instantly contacted a lawyer. But being not necessarily cheap, but just being, you know, the dad that I thought I was being of just go do it yourself, son, and go figure out, you know, the hard way, what it looks like to pay a court fine, go do that. But he really did need a lawyer and he really did need representation. And we ended up booking a new date and having a lawyer, and the lawyer shared with me all the potential consequences that I wasn't thinking about that could have gone wrong if that judge did see him on that date without representation. And so I learned the hard way. My son learned the hard way as well. And we did have to pay a fee that I wasn't wanting to, but it did end up saving me money, a lot of money in the long run of insurance, fines, potential court, additional court cases, and things, just so many things that would have happened if that judge saw my son unrepresented. So that's just a real life personal example of a fee for service industry that, man, I would not want to do without. So you listeners out there, realtors are worth their time. They are worth their weight in gold, because if you have a good one, use them. And you might think, man, I don't know if it's worth all that money. But in the end, going through the paperwork, going through the process, going through the project coordination of it all, you will see it is worth your weight. So, man, I hope I was able to hold your attention here. And there's still going to be far more questions down the road. But when you look at what the media is saying, there is a lot of in-depth layers to just off-the-cuff statements that I've heard, like I rattled off to you. And to sum it all up, nothing is changing yet. There will be some potential down the road that things may change and shift. And lean on your local realtor to explain it to you and to walk you through what their fees are and walk you through what they do for that fee. That's the bottom line. That never should have changed over these years, and it always should still consistently stay that way. And it's just sad, and it's sad and depressing to think that there were some agencies out there who were taking advantage of clients, who were having them overpay or shifting money around in certain ways to have things be you know, not negotiable. And yeah, so that to me is a bummer. And I wish that wasn't the case. And I certainly, my heart reaches out for those people who were taken advantage of and were not properly represented. That is certainly not what I do. And it's not what we do here at Icon Real Estate, where my team works hard to give full concierge level service to all of our clients. So just keep on the hunt of what is going on in this industry. Be aware, be informed, and that's why you listen to this podcast, because you know that you can be informed and know what is happening each and every month as this settlement progresses. And trust me, we will have follow-up conversations about this in the future as well. Man, I can't believe I said all of those things on the eve of Apple Blossom. Can you believe that this settlement conversation took over the conversation about Apple Blossom? Well, I don't want to shortchange anything about Apple Blossom, because we are just simply a day away from getting the taste of Apple Blossom here in Winchester. Believe it or not, it starts tomorrow. April 26th is the day. It goes all the way through May 5th. If you go to thebloom.com and check out the event lineup, that's where I would suggest that you go. And to highlight a few things, tomorrow you've got the golf tournament, you've got tennis tournament, the craft festival begins as well. You've got the wine festival that kicks off as well, that goes on for a couple days downtown. And then that leads into the Apple Blossom season, where you have all the different celebrities that come in. You've got the Midway that's popping up. You've got the Commonwealth socials. You got the stag luncheons, you got the queen coronations, you got the parades, you got the fireworks, man, just the list goes on and on and on. And next time that we get on air, we're going to share some stories. I love it. Believe it or not, for me, I unfortunately will not be around. So I'm going to collect stories from you, the listening audience, of what your best event, most favorite event was. What was the craziest thing that you saw happen? And then what was the most iconic moment? Use that word, the most iconic moment of the Apple Blossom Festival for you and your family. Send some pictures to us. Get us on social media. We love to hear from you from that standpoint. I really hope that you learned some from today's episode. And again, we don't want to end the conversation here and now, but we'll pause it right now. End this chat, because time is short. And thank you so much for listening, because remember, whenever you do look for a real estate professional, make sure they are experienced, innovative, personal, dedicated, and available. And feel free to share this episode with your friends. Let them know this is where they can get the news about the National Association of Realtors settlement. This is where they can learn all the insights about what goes on in the realtors' minds, and what you can accomplish as a client, what they can help you out with. So let them know, come hunt us down. If you wanted to share whichever platform that you listen to, go for it. Remind them that we're on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever they get their podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our editor extraordinaire, Simi Battaglia, and our social media queen, Liv Gordon. Until next time, think iconic.